If you wish to follow along, we'll be reading out of Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. Hear now the word of the Lord. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, I tell you in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be the members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Will you join me in prayer? God, we are your children, and you, our Heavenly Father, remind us this day and every day. Amen. Aren't we glad Father's Day is over? I know I am. I know that I'm glad that this Sunday is not Father's Day because, you see, we have some really difficult texts to talk about, especially when it comes to being a father and family on this day. You know, it's kind of weird sometimes how the lectionary, the schedule that we use that gives us texts assigned to each week, we don't pick this stuff most Sundays. We don't pick these scriptures. They're given to us. They fit nicely because someone took the time to plan out and said, hey, wouldn't it be nice if around Christmas time and Advent we read some Christmas things and expectation, and around Easter we read about resurrection and the passion, and so now we're in this period of time, this long period of time called ordinary time. Now don't let the name fool you, because if you think that it's ordinary and then you read today's scriptures, you think, this is really, really strange to be ordinary. Very strange indeed. But if you really think about it, in the Genesis passage, things are pretty normal, right? Sarah's telling Abraham what to do. And then God is telling Abraham, you should probably do it. You should go ahead and do that. I'll take care of it. But you need to do right by that, okay? Just make sure she's happy. Okay, so things are feeling very normal, right? Okay. But all kidding aside, this passage, these passages today present us with a realistic view of what Father Abraham, who had many sons, and many sons had this Father Abraham. And I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. All right, I'm done. But no, we get a peek at what a dysfunctional family Father Abraham had. He had children by two mothers, one of them a servant, and not only that, he listens to this word and sends the servant away with that offspring, with his own son. sends him away. Not exactly Father's Day material, is it? But it would be a shame if all we did was spend our time focusing on Abraham and all that's wrong with his family situation, at least as we see it, right? Because he's got two kids, so he's got that, right? But he's lacking that half-child, and either the dog or the family cat or maybe a mix of both that makes a nice, neat family situation. He's lacking that, but this story even shows us much more dysfunction within his own household. But it'd be a shame if we focus in so much on that that we miss the fact that this story and all Scripture is about God and God's activity in the midst of humanity and human history and the history of this world before we were created. This story, these Scriptures are about God. That's what this is about. And Abraham is struck by, he has this great tension within him as Sarah comes and says, I want you to send her away. Send her and her son off. I'll be darned if they're going to be raised in the same household and get the same inheritance as my son and your son, your true son. I'm your wife. But God intervenes in that situation as Abraham thinks, how can I send my son away? Probably to death. And God says, send him away. Send them away. Because I will look after them. Because you may be Father Abraham, but I am Abba, Father. I am their father. I am your father. I will provide for them, and I will provide for you. I will make you into a great nation. And because they are your family, I will make him into a great nation. I will not leave them. And so we get to move on to the gospel text. At last, after this story about family dysfunction, at least we get Jesus, right? Jesus is going to give us a nice word. And he starts out kind of nice in some ways, talking about, oh, God watches over the sparrows, and you are much more valuable than sparrows, so don't think he won't watch over you too. But then comes that part, that uncomfortable part about I come not to bring peace, but a sword. And that part about not getting along with your family. I know that doesn't really resonate with any of y'all because we all have those perfect families with 2.5 kids and the animal and whatever else, and we all go home to our nice place in Mayberry. But you're not going to get along with your mom. And you're not going to get along with your dad, and you're not going to get along with your stepmom. Maybe that makes a little more sense to us, right? Not getting along with your in-laws. We can latch onto that and say, oh yeah, definitely. You're right, Jesus. But it's hard for us to think about cutting family ties. It's hard. Jesus starts to get divisive here, says, this is what I'm going to do. I will drive a wedge in your life. And I have to be more important than the other side. It has to be me. You even have to give up the relationships you value the most. Those that are family. Those that are offspring. And if you couple that with the idea that the fact that this week's lectionary from Matthew seems to drop us into Jesus' discourse as he's teaching on persecutions that we're supposed to expect if we're going to be his disciples, then it seems to be that this ordinary time is really extraordinary. It's strange. It's weird. And it's kind of uncomfortable. And suddenly we're not sure what to think about the crazy things that Jesus is saying. But we're also a bit, in this passage as we started reading today, a bit like that really annoying person that walks into the theater as the movie's already started and sits down next to you and says, hey, what'd I miss? Can you tell me? So we find ourselves dropped into this area and all we know is it feels really weird and I don't know what to think. because Jesus is saying some really weird things, and I thought I liked this Jesus guy. I thought he loved me because the Bible tells me so, but now he's saying I got to leave my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister, and I have to pick up a cross? Jesus sends his disciples out as sheep among wolves and then offers them some comfort, as much comfort as can be offered after that, saying the Spirit will give them the words and the strength to endure and to spread this message of love, and yet still he points to the way that familial relationships can be damaged by following Christ. The thing we hold so dear, sometimes more important than anything else in life. He says, I am more important than that. Most of us would do anything for our family. If we were put in Abraham's shoes, and especially fathers, if we were put in Abraham's shoes, might we respond to Sarah, if not for God's intervention? But they're family. You can't just send them away. We would do anything for family. But in this passage, Jesus places before us a sort of ultimatum, saying, those who follow me, you've got to choose me over even your family. Even your sons and your daughters, your mothers, your fathers, your brothers, your sisters, you've got to lose your life if you want to find it. Can you do that? Can you follow me? Can you follow me to persecution, to excommunication? Can you follow me to death? Paul, in our Romans reading today, says we really need to follow him to death because when dying with him, we are raised with him. So let's die a death like Christ. Can you do that? Can you do that for a God who knows your need? A God who knows how much more valuable you are than sparrows and knows every hair on your head, which for some of us that might be an easier task to figure that out. Can you depend on God? Can God, the I Am, be your provider? What are you living for? What are you living for? This is the question that will echo through the next several weeks of preaching. What are the things that are most important in our lives? What are the things that we say, this is what it's all about? This is what it comes down to. Where are our allegiances? Where do we find our identity? Most of us would do anything for our family. Would we do anything for God? Do we love God more than our families? Do we love God more than these? It's a difficult question to answer, especially when God at times feels so far, and family, our jobs, our friendships, the things that bring us joy seem so near. And so tangible. If they have called the master of this household Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Jesus, I believe, here is saying two things. The first is that there's a new household being created. There's a new family being created. He's the head. And we can become members of that family. I'm going to say things that people don't want to hear. Will you echo them? And know that if you do echo, people are going to say the same things about you that they said about me. They're not going to like it. Are you ready for that? And secondly, you, as members of my household, as my disciples, are going to seem just as crazy as I do to those who are outside our household. going to be hard to be liked at times. Have you ever gone over to someone else's house for maybe a Thanksgiving meal or an Easter meal or a Christmas meal and realized that not everybody does it the way you do it? That maybe some people have dessert first, or maybe they don't have ham, they have turkey, or maybe they don't have meat at all, or maybe everyone sits together at one big table and other tables there's the adult table and the kids' table. Or maybe everyone eats kind of whenever they want, rather than gathering together around the table and having a prayer and sharing conversation. We're forming a new household, you see. We're going to do things a little different. People might not like the way we're going to do things, because they're not going to understand. Family and other things are sticking points when it comes to faith. There are these questions that we're going to wrestle with as we think about what are we living for. Are we living for our families? Is family the most important thing? Oftentimes around Christmas, you hear that thought voiced. The most important thing is that we are together for Christmas. No. The most important thing about Christmas is who it's named after. That Christ, Emmanuel, is the most important thing. Family is very important. But this passage today says that we are to pick Christ over our family. Every time. Every time. Over the next few weeks, expect to hear some interesting, maybe uncomfortable things. Things you may not like, things that Jesus says, things that other scriptures say, things like leaving your child to die and the mother of your child to suffer the same fate. Things like, your family's not going to like you anymore. Or you're going to have to leave your family in order to follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. Follow me. It seems like a task too great, because we're quick to think, Jesus, I know what you're saying, but they're family. We're going to hear some weird things. Some interesting things, some hard things to hear. I hope you'll come anyway. Amen.